Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, that's right, folks. We have to keep it mellow here because if we let things get out of hand on the Duke Machado show, I mean, really, things can get out of hand pretty quickly. Again, thank you for tuning in. You know, we're back at it. We're doing what we do every weeknight, Monday through Thursday. We're talking politics. We're talking about, well, just things that are going on in the world, things that matter to us here locally. And tonight, I have a good friend of mine from years ago in the music business. D'Artagnan is with us. D'Artagnan Barnes, coming all the way. He's tuned in and calling in from San Diego, California. So we have some good perspective from the West Coast on tonight. How you doing? What's going on with you?
I'm pretty good, man. How you doing?
I know you're wanting to just throw a freestyle down to this track. It's so smooth. But,
you know me. I can rock to anything with a rhythm.
Yeah, I know. I know you can. But you know, the reason, you know, we go way back, and we go back to where we were chasing dreams and, you know, trying to build empires in the music business. And we know
right.
that a lot of times things don't work out as planned. But, you know, we move forward, we pick ourselves up, and we keep moving forward. That's what it's all about, you know. That's the beauty of this country, is that you can fail and pick yourself back up and start over again.
Sure.
So
I mean,
you know
that's anywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since you and I have talked. Last time I saw you, you were living in a D.C. area or
somewhere in that area
anyway, Maryland.
Yeah, Montgomery County. I subsequently moved back into D.C. for a little bit after you and I had met. And then I went back to Montgomery County. But ultimately, I felt like for my career and for my personal happiness, I needed to get away from where I was, and this is where I needed to be. And then, you know, it's funny because, we have a particular topic of discussion for the evening. And that was the thing, is living that close to D.C. I mean, I'm about 15 minutes. Where I lived at, I was maybe about 15 minutes from downtown Washington, Northwest. So I could drive by the White House and the monument within 15 to 20 minutes of jumping into the car from my front door. And so it's a different thing there. You know, the energy, the intangibles, the things that you can't touch, see, you know, feel, but you know, it's there, and you can feel it, and it's just like a conservative oppression. You know, I moved to San Diego, and everyone's like, oh, my God, you know, it's so expensive in San Diego. And I say, not where I come from. It's actually a little bit cheaper here for me to live in comparison to the money that I spent where I lived in Montgomery County. And, you know, to put some perspective on that, it's now the number 10 wealthiest county in the United States. San Diego County's not even the top 100. And the whole time that I was growing up, Montgomery County was like the number 3 wealthiest county in the United States. And it's the, you know, it's the prime suburbs outside of D.C. So a lot of people in Congress, Senate, people that work for all areas of the government, FBI, CIA, DEA, that's where they made their homes at, Montgomery County and Northern Virginia. And the police force there is just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, so I had to get out of there.
So the you're familiar with a lot of the tactics that the police use, a lot of the methods that are being used nowadays, and I know that I've seen on your Facebook page that, well, you kind of have some sympathy, it seems like, for the Black Lives Matter movement, and or maybe some understanding. Or I was kind of hoping I could get your take on what you think the Black Lives Matter movement is all about.
Okay, so I can't give you a surface level answer on that. So what I'll do is I won't get into it, honestly about the Black Lives Matter movement. What I will touch on is the actual problems that have arisen in our communities with police officers.
Yeah.
So there's facts, and then there's opinions of facts. I really don't weigh in my opinion to people, usually, because I only like to deal with facts. And we can always discuss facts, and so that's where you come into your opinion. But people have an opinion about a situation, not the facts in the situation. So as far as the police are concerned, I will tell you this. I have been pulled over and harassed a number of times by police officers. And when I say a number of times, I say I just turned 41 yesterday. So I would say at least 30 to 35 times in my life I've been pulled over by the police. I've never been physically assaulted by the police. It's in whatever any situation I've gotten into, it hasn't even called for that. I've had guns drawn on me, put in my face, all kinds of things that sometimes were uncalled for, and at some times I feel like for their job it was called for. But as far as the things that we see now in social media concerning the actual community and the police, I will say this much. The numbers state that there are more white Americans killed by the police officers per year than black. That's what the facts are, the numbers state. This is what, the poll has come in. You have to trust the people that are giving you this information. But we are a melting pot society in this country. There's not just black and white people here. And I say black because what other term are we going to use? Everything's offensive. I'm a black male, but I'm mostly Native American.
Well, but even within the black community, there's different levels of blackness. You could be black and still be considered white. It don't even matter, you know.
Well, it's not. Well, see, let's touch on that. See, it's not. People say considered white, but this is my problem with that, is because they usually equivocate intelligence with Caucasian. That doesn't make any sense. When I was a kid, people used to call me white boy. Well, that's because I didn't talk with slang. But then as I got a little bit older, it wasn't a point of my offense to it became a different level of offense when you sit back and think of what it's pertaining to, because you're telling me that as from my heritage, my skin color, the kinkiness in my hair in comparison, that I'm not able to talk with education, proper diction. I don't understand that. I've never understood that. So when people say, okay, it's the point of you want to say ghetto to non-ghetto. There's so many different variations. Ghetto is a particularly personified character.
Ghetto is going to get you shot. If you start acting ghetto in a situation around police, you're going to end up getting shot.
Is ghetto. You're a product. To a certain point, you're a product of your upbringing. But then you decide whether or not you're going to feed into it. People try to make excuses, but you know what you're going to feed into it.
Ultimately it is our personal decision to be one way or the other, and to make we are responsible and accountable for our own actions. Hey, real quick though, we have some callers that are calling in. I just want to let you know I am going to take your call, D'Artagnan. Are you okay to take a question if we have a question for you?
Yes, I did want to touch on something, but because I didn't get to fully answer your question, but yeah, go ahead. I'm sure that we'll end up getting into it.
Oh yeah, we're going to get into it for sure. Okay, so caller, I'm going to give the last four digits of your phone number, and then you'll be live with us. Caller number 3001, please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Francisco, Frank Flores.
Hey, Frank. Another Texas guy here.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm good.
That's good.
You know, I'm a fourth generation American, and my skin is still brown. It hadn't changed, okay? and my eyes ain't blue. And when I was a young man and on the streets of Fort Worth, hanging out on the east side and in Como, and I was at times the only person in the establishment that was not black, I eventually I would at times get into situations that were not necessarily healthy for me. But, okay. You know, once I removed myself from certain environments, I never had problems with the law again. I never had problems right. with most people.
That's why he's in San Diego now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not all the reason, but it helps to get away, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it is your walk of life. You know, if you don't put yourself in a high traffic, high problem area, if you're not riding around or doing things in areas that are more prone to have crime or violence at certain times, if you just remove yourself from that situation, then you don't deal with a lot of that. You know, it's very rare that you see normal people that just don't fall into that category, that demographic of people that would have to deal with it. But see, that's the point, is just yourself who don't actually have contact with the police and don't see firsthand. You see what the media gives you. And so it's all TV. You know, now we have internet, but most people, especially older people, they watch their news. And so you see what the news wants you to see. You know, most people fail to realize that Reuters is owned by the Rothschilds. So basically, if you have someone that owns where your news, all news that is spread across the globe comes from with an agenda, then what do you think will happen to your news once it comes?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be tainted. And, you know, the propaganda, yeah, the propaganda takes over. And, you know, unfortunately in this country, it's all liberals that control the media for the most part.
The thing is that people are willing to believe what they see and hear, okay? So with there being footage, they do camera tricks. And people say, oh, you know, it's a conspiracy theory. But no, if you hear them talking about a particular, let's say this fight airing in Israel today, something got bombed or something of this nature, and then they'll flash on the screen, show some people running across the street, show some smoke
right.
coming, see people maybe hear a couple of shots, and then they take that off of the screen, and then they continue with the dialogue. So now the only thing that you're getting is what that reporter is telling you. You're not actually seeing anything. You saw maybe 7 to 8 seconds of good footage of something that you don't even know where it comes from because you're
yeah.
not even from
yeah.
that country. So
and
like,
the rest is commentary. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they lead you down a path of absorbed information. It's the same way if you get your news, if people read the newspaper, you really printing anything that, you know, when there's, a breaking story from a reporter in Washington Times, that information usually does not come from a source that isn't fed to them. You know, when people find out information, you can believe the 1% that run this globe have their hands on the things that they've created. So they are very real about paying attention to what you're doing and what you're saying.
I want to get into the 1%. I do. That's going to be our topic as soon as we take our next caller. Caller, call off the last four digits of your number. Oh, by the way, thank you, Frank, for calling in. It's always good to hear from you.
And you stay out of trouble.
All right. So, caller, last four digits of your number, 4727. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Naj in Atlanta.
Atlanta, the A, man, holding it down. What's going on in Atlanta these days?
The first time we got together was in Atlanta.
I know. I was thinking. What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Well, I haven't heard the conversation you guys are having, so I'm going to play catch up. But just to introduce a story to you guys tonight, you can actually check this out. But there was a gentleman who the police came to his door and demanded he open the door. He asked for a warrant. They didn't have one. He told him he wouldn't open it if they didn't have a warrant. They kicked in the door and shot him. He's now dead. This was a white male, husband, father. And what I want to say to you with that is, when you allow the weakest portion of the population to be attacked and beat by state violence, it will eventually start to visit upon the other sections of society. So a story like this that we're seeing that just happened yesterday, we're going to see more and more of that.
This happened in Atlanta yesterday?
No, this wasn't Atlanta. I'd have to pull up the story on my phone to see what city. But I guess within the conversation, I'll do that for you guys so we can make sure we get, you know, all the details right.
Great. But, and see, that's perfect that you actually called in with this, because that was what I didn't get a chance to touch on before. And I'll try to just keep this short and precise. This whole Black Lives Matter, for me, it's all lives matter. And this is This isn't me taking some kind of a way out. The point is that we live here together. We come from one source. I'm not going to get into the talk about race and species, because race is it doesn't make any sense to me. The oldest living human remains, not living, but the oldest human remains was found in Africa, dated from over a million years ago. So these are facts that we got to deal with, but let's just keep it there. We all make this globe go around. The problem for me is, how can you can't love yourself truly if you can't love everything and everybody. The things that go on in this world is just ridiculous. So it has to be all lives matter, all things matter.
Let me get to that real quick. I got the info for the story. This was in North Carolina. His name was John Livingston, 33 years old. So that's the story, you guys.
And they
kind of punched that up and find it.
They kicked this man's door in and just executed
him. It was the wrong house. It's the wrong house.
They kicked this man's door in and executed him in the name of the law, is what you're basically telling me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, because he tried to actually use his rights as a citizen to say, you don't have a warrant, you can't come in here.
And that's why I'm saying all lives matter. The little Caucasian teenager that got shot over some weed in his car, was pulling away and got shot by the police and killed. Like, honestly, it's the abuse of power and the directives that, this is a corporation that we're dealing with. I don't understand why people don't understand the facts, okay? Like, we don't have a king. We don't have that level of hierarchy. Businesses have president, the president of the business, the vice president, the treasurer, the secretary. We just happen to have defense and the secretary of defense, and then we have the CIA and we have the FBI, the Secret Service, these things that that they put into place where it's special directives and they are empowered to basically violate with the rights that they've given you, because we are living under a particular set of values created by a guy. And the point is that when you shake the foundation of that bubble, you become an expendable citizen. You know, our social security numbers are basically our barcode. We are property to this company of the United States of America. People don't understand that, but you can research that and look it up, that once you're born and you're given a social security number.
Yeah, you're talking about like a lot of the work that William Cooper did before he died. Like I definitely get that big picture point. But going back to the topic, I understand when people do say all lives matter, because all lives should matter. That should be the case. But if one group is attacked not in proportion to their population, then there's nothing wrong with that group standing up and saying, hey, we're not going to stand for this. So I have no problem with those Black Lives Matter. Just let me finish, my man. So I have no problem with those Black Lives Matter kids out here who are actually advocating for the police to actually do their job and be in control and actually treat citizens like citizens. So I have no problem with those kids either. So I have no argument on either side. My problem is people deciding to discredit one side for the other. There's no need. Both can exist in their own spaces.
I'm going to throw something in here that is really going to get things going. I just want to let you know we have another caller, and I am going to get you on here in just a few minutes, caller 3868. But just hang tight. I want to throw this out here. To me, it's just my observation, but I see today in the young Black society a lack of respect for authority. And this is also in Hispanic community. We'll just say communities in general that are in poverty. I see a lack of respect for authority more so now than, say, 10, 15 years ago.
Let's take that point and go somewhere with it, though.
Yeah, let's take
if
that point.
If you see a lack of respect,
is,
if you see a, hold on, if you see a lack of respect in certain communities of different groups, then you would have to say, okay, how does this lack of respect come? Where did this come from, this disrespect for this authority with a badge? And then you start to look at the city reports of those areas, and you see that they only police in one area, and they police with a heavy hand in this area. Now, if you have a couple of generations like that, you're going to have a disrespectful attitude or an idea that people abuse their authority. So I think we can have that conversation, but we also have to have nuance with it and say, okay, let's not just talk about effect.
But at the same time, just because you're born or you grow up in the hood or the projects, that doesn't mean you're automatically you got to be against the police, though. You know what I'm saying?
The point is that you don't have to automatically be against the police. The point is, if you have abusive police, you're not going to typically think that they're a good group. That's my point.
If you got abusive police, we got to get abusive cops out of there. But I want to say there are a lot of good cops, and I've seen footage of things that good cops do when they're faced with idiot people, you know.
It's one of the hardest jobs you could ever take on, and there are only a certain amount of people who are qualified for it. The problem is now we have flooded the ranks with people who shouldn't be there, and we have to root those people out. Like that's what the issue is. Yeah, it's a hard job, man. It's not an easy job.
Let me say this, please. See, this is where I always have a problem with having conversations with people, is because, see, my depth of a topic or a situation goes way deeper. I go all the way back to when there weren't police officers, and then the issuing of a police officer and the directive of a police officer, how that has changed. And now it's supposed to be a peace officer. But in all actuality, the way that these people work for a corporation. And so it's like the point is that if you want to continue, if you just want to talk about the
Hold on, I got to stop you there. You keep saying they work for a corporation. They work for a city or a county or a government entity that is paid for by the taxpayers. They work for the taxpayers.
Okay, now see, that is just still another guy. We can look up the facts of where your tax money really goes to. Okay, and then that's what I'm saying. All of it is all government, but you say every county has a budget, but you're not understanding when I say we go into the depth of the situation. Where does that money come from? This isn't a money or a financial establishment that is regulated by our government. Who owns the banks that give the money to us that creates this deficit that we have to pay back?
So I don't know how it is.
We're getting off topic. We're getting off. That's why I say my in-depth of understanding is something different. But what I'm saying is, back to what I was saying about the police officers, you can become a police officer. You can have that pursuit to be a police officer to do good, okay? But the thing is that you have a job, and you have to do your good in the positioning of what that job calls for. Okay, I have friends that are police officers. I have friends that aren't police officers anymore. I grew up with people who became police officers. People, and you're like, really? You're a cop? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
My closest friends who passed away now, hold up, he was a police officer. I was a teenager. He was in his 20s. We were partying, drinking, smoking weed, all of that type of stuff. And then at some point in time, he became a cop. And he's a really good dude. But the point is that you're saying that, you know, these are normal people who take on a job, and people's intentions change. The point is that the police as a whole do not treat citizens in lower class or middle class areas the same way that they do for people in high class areas.
You got to pause right there. Hold that thought. I'm going to bring in my last caller. We only got 2 minutes left, but I do want you to ask your question. Caller 3868. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Duke, it's Joel Little Santos. How's it going?
Oh, hey, what's going on? Man, I'm glad you called in.
I know.
How you doing,
actually,
my man? How you doing?
You got to make your statement quick.
No, I'm just, I'm listening to both sides of the story. And, I mean, you just have to, keep this in mind. It's like you were born naked. You were born without money, whatever. I understand the concept of how money came around. I read an article a long time ago about, you know, this comes in Africa. In Africa, the tribes back then, it was called Mbuto. Like one tribe would make, like, you have a person that did bread, the other was a locksmith, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the main thing was to do three times the more and then share it with all the other tribes. So if that tribe, like say tribe A did not have enough bread and tribe C had some, so they would do triple of what they would do to support the other tribes. And so there was no money, there was no bartering, nothing like that. It was just basically just, you know, a system where everybody worked together, everybody was fed together, everybody took care of each other, and it worked until, you know, money came into play and gold.
Until they were colonized and completely given a different way of living your life. If you are grown up on a system from the time that you're born to the time that you become an adult and you have to go out in the world and make your own decisions, your scope of understanding of what life is supposed to be is already created for you in our society. You feel me? You have a guidance counselor. You have a guidance counselor in junior high school that gives you a list of occupations that you're supposed to be good at, and by that time you're in high school,
you know what?
You're supposed to be paying attention to these things so that when you go to college, you already have been set for what you're supposed to do.
Well, I can tell you, it is what it is, and we are in control of our own destiny. We don't have to go along with what someone tells us. We can do what we want to do. Folks, I appreciate everyone calling in tonight. We have no time left in the show. It was a great show, and catch us tomorrow night. Duke Machado, I'm out of here.
Take it easy.
See you later.
Good night, folks.